This morning we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't know about you. I am looking forward to being on the other side. To be able to see God's face. To be able to be in a place where there's no sin. Where there are no headaches. No unemployment. No hospitals. No sick babies. Streets of gold. Like I've said before, and I'll say it again this morning, heaven is going to blow your mind. So you ask, what is the kingdom? You know, if you look at the Old Testament, God prophesied about the kingdom in so many passages. Obviously, because of time, I'm not even going to go through them. God was to establish his kingdom on earth during the reign of the Roman Empire. And you better believe, as the Israelites, over the years in the Old Testament, and hearing all these prophecies about the kingdom of God, they were anticipating it and looking forward to it. And then God did something very funny. This is my own opinion. Here we are talking about the kingdom, talking about the Messiah coming. And after Malachi, he went silent for 400 years. Such that when Matthew came around, by the time we get to the New Testament, John the Baptist is out there preaching and baptizing people in the Jordan River, and they ask him, "Are you the Messiah?" And he says, "No, I'm not." They said, "Why are you baptizing them?" He says, "You know what? I'm not the Messiah. As a matter of fact, I am the voice of one calling out in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord.' Somebody is coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie." And when Jesus shows us, he says, "Now look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Remember, John started his ministry by telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was near. Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Excuse me, Matthew 3, 17. And he says, "You know what? Guess what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Are you with me? It's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. You say, what is the kingdom of God? I want to talk about five things very quickly this morning. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God was the central theme of Jesus' message throughout the Gospels. That was all Jesus talked about. And finally, the wicked cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom is where God reigns. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. How are we doing? Let me hear them Bibles turning. This is not a show. I do not perform. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In verse 5. The Bible says, "Then Jehoshaphat stood up at the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you.'" Wow. This is the God who's reigning. Notice what it says. It says, "Are you not the God who is in heaven? God rules over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand him." Amen? Let me tell you something, guys. There's only one superpower. And it's not America. It never was. It never was America. It never was the Soviet Union. It's always been God, and it always will be God. God rules over all the nations. And no one, the Bible says, can withstand him. God is the one that's in control. Are you with me? He's king. He's the one who's reigning. And I've said this one, I'll say it again. I thank God he's not running for re-election. He's perfect. It's amazing. I think, honestly, if we have our way with our arrogance and our democracy and our freedom, we'll probably vote God out. We are so arrogant as human beings. But guess what? He's not running for re-election. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has his own government. He has his own constitution. But he's not of this world. That's what you and I are part of. And I think too many times, even as Christians, we forget that. And we get so psyched out by the things of this world. We get so consumed by all this stuff. Instead of thinking and focusing on the kingdom of God. What fires you up? Seriously. What makes you get out of bed in the morning? Is it the kingdom of God? Or is it the things of this world? Because the things of this world, the Bible says, are temporary. But the things of God are eternal. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. It is a spiritual kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, I declare to you in verse 50, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Flesh and blood, you and I, humans, you cannot inherit the kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom, it's a spiritual one. Are you with me? It's our souls that go into it. It's our souls that's a part of it. This physical body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen, church? Amen. It's your soul that inherits it. It's our soul that goes into it. The day you repented of your sins and you were immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you become a part of the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Gary said for him, in his message, it was 1989. I still remember mine. Coming out of that water and realizing, you know what? All the sins I've ever committed, gone. And God is not going to hold them against me. Not only that, my future sins, God will take care of. Now, that doesn't mean we deliberately keep on sinning. Okay, the Bible talks about that one too. But we are sinners. We are redeemed sinners. We will fall. We will make mistakes. That even that, the blood of Jesus takes care of. That's the reason why I'm able to go to sleep at night. Because I know that one day, I'm not going to be here. And God is not going to hold me responsible for all this stuff. Is it no wonder they call it amazing grace? That's what you are part of. That's what you can be a part of. That is why I'm a preacher. I wanted to be a corporate lawyer making tons of money. When I came in contact with this, I said, bag that. I'm going to keep talking about the kingdom of God until the day I drop. Amen? You say, oh, Richard, we're paying you. Yeah. But believe me, you're not paying me enough to do this. It's never been about money. And it never will be. It's about the kingdom of God. And I will continue to teach this until the day I drop. I've always felt, and I still do, if the day ever comes when I start saying things or doing things because of what one human being did, that is the day I leave the ministry. Because this has always been about God for me, and it will always be about God. I am not going to deviate from that. If the day ever comes when some human is telling me, yeah, we got to say it this way, you got to do it this way, that is the day I say, bag it. Or better yet, I'm going to go start my own ministry. Because I will continue to preach this until the day I die. Until the day I die. Amen, church? Amen. This is what you see, this is what you get. That's the way I've always been. And it's not going to change in 2011. It's about a spiritual kingdom. It is also an eternal kingdom. Look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel comes and tells Mary she's going to have a son. And we'll pick up reading in verse 31. Luke chapter 1. He says, you will be a child. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end. The kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God has no end. Are you with me? Jesus is on the throne. He will continue to be on the throne. Amen? I mean, think about that for a second. Forever. 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 That's a big word. I'm not even sure I totally understand it. It will never end. Nations come and nations go. Rulers come and rulers go. But Jesus remains forever. I don't know about you. That is the authority I want to be under. Okay? Presidents come and presidents go. Amen? Senators come and senators go. Reps come and reps go. Governors come and governors go. Jesus remains forever. Again, it's a very hard concept for us to understand in America. Because you know what? We vote people into office, we don't like them, we kick them out. That's the way we are. That's what we do. Sorry, you can't vote Jesus out. I got news for you. Don't even try. You are the one who's going to get voted out. Amen? I'm so glad he didn't give us that leeway. Because we will do it in the West. He will reign forever. It's an eternal kingdom. I love this passage. Turn to it in John 18. You know when Jesus is standing before Pilate? Pilate is talking to him, trying to find out, you know, why is this guy before me? He finds no charges against him. In verse 35, am I a Jew? Pilate asked. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Oh, I love that passage. The implication is, not everybody is on the side of truth. Not everybody is going to listen to the message. But Jesus promised that everybody on the side of truth would listen to him. There is nothing as exciting as seeing people come to the truth, seeing people see the truth of the Bible and deciding to submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. That fires me up. To see God change lives, to see God change marriages, to see God change parenting. But Jesus is king. But he says, guess what? My kingdom is not of this world. Amen? It's a spiritual kingdom. You say, well, where is it? You're about to find out. One of these days, you will find out. One of these days, I will find out. Are you with me? Just make sure that you are part of it. Because the scriptures also teach in so many places, many will be outside knocking, open the door for us. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, it's not about getting dressed and going to church. It never was. It's about being a disciple of Jesus. It's about being a follower of Jesus. It's about being a subject in God's kingdom. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and yes, Sunday. Not everybody's going to make it. All this stuff in the Gospels about getting ready for the end, getting ready for the second coming, it's talking to disciples of Jesus. The fact that you're here every Sunday, the fact that your names are on our roll in this church, doesn't mean you're going to make it. You got to keep on working out your salvation with fear and trembling every day. Amen? I can't read your Bible for you. I can't pray for you every day. You've got to work that stuff out between you and your God on a daily basis. If not, you would lose it. Satan is working every day trying to get you out. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's very gradual. You just start drifting. You start drifting. All of a sudden, you don't feel like reading your Bible anymore. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like talking to Christians. You stop talking to non-Christians. And all of a sudden, before you realize it, the kingdom of God is over there and you are over here and you're wondering, how did I get here? I'll tell you how you got here. You were not paying attention. The Bible says we got to be careful so that we do not drift away. If the message that was spoken by prophets was binding, how can we escape such a great salvation? It talks about it in Hebrews. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? More so, the kingdom of God was all Jesus talked about. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? You remember the Sermon on the Mount? Come on, church. Okay, it's interactive. I asked you a question. It wasn't rhetorical. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, I do too. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That was where he started. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's you and I. That's us. Poor in spirit. And throughout the ministry, throughout his ministry, that was all he talked about. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went and planted a field. Matthew chapter 13, from verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed. That when a man sowed it, it was the smallest of seeds, but it became the largest. I'm paraphrasing. That's Matthew 13, beginning verse 31. Says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went off and sold everything he had and bought that field. Verse 45, Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls.
When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Amen? That's why, you know, you and I, when God called us, we gave up everything. Why? Because we found the pearl we had always been looking for. You see, all of us in here, we're created with a void. The Bible talks about it in terms of he has set eternity in our hearts. There's a spiritual void. And it's amazing throughout life. We go through life looking for things. Relationships and money and job and career. Trying to fill that hole. And you can't. Because only God, who is spirit, can fill it. And when you finally find it, all these earthly things fall into place. They no longer make sense. They're no longer the priority. Are you with me? Do you understand the value of what you've got? Yes, times are tough. Unemployment is still at 9 point whatever. I don't know. And I don't really care, to be honest with you. Because all those things are all temporary. Amen? You know, here's my definition of unemployment. And I'm not trying to be crass. You're unemployed? What that tells me is that God is going to give you a great job. That's the way I look at it. Are you with me? Now, you got to be patient. You got to let him direct you to where that place is. Again, it's not a, okay, God, I've been unemployed for 8 months. Father, please give me a job. Please give me a job. And then you sit there all day watching TV or playing video games. I'm sorry. That does not work. Okay? You've been praying? Good. Now, you got to get those resumes out. You got to get out there. You got to start networking. You got to hit the streets. And then God will guide you. Are you with me? That's the way it works. And so you can keep on praying all you want. You got to get out of the house. You got to get those resumes out there. Are you with me? And then God will give you exactly what he wants you to have. I was talking to a brother this morning. A few months ago, he wasn't employed. Now he's employed. And he loves it. That's exciting. Amen? And this week may be your week. But all I'm saying is, you know what? God wants to fill that void. Trust him. He's your father. He cares about who you are. He knows what is going on. The Bible says he knows what we're going to ask even before we ask. God knows what I'm feeling as I'm standing up here. God knows what I've been feeling this week. He knows it. Okay, God, what are you trying to do? Make it plain. Just tell me. I'm not going to argue. Just tell me what you want me to do. But it was the theme of Jesus' message. Then I love verse 47. It says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. Guess what? In the kingdom, there's going to be all kinds of people there. The kingdom of God is made up of all kinds of people. All kinds. Not just my kind. All kinds. Again, I bring that up because a lot of times we're so comfortable with our own kind. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you're only comfortable worshiping God or being with people of your own kind, I doubt if you're going to make it to heaven. I dare say you are not even going to like heaven. Because there are going to be all kinds of people there. Short people and tall people. Black people and white people. Caribbean people and Africans. Asians, everybody. Amen? It starts right here. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. All this is practicing for heaven. I still have a problem. And I still do. And I will continue to until Jesus comes back. You know me, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. I got a problem Sunday morning when a church is predominantly one race. I've always had a problem with it, and I will continue to have a problem with it until Jesus comes back. Because that's not what he died for. We are all created in God's image. We were all called in. Ooh. Where's he from? No, let me go somewhere where I can understand their accent. We even go down to that level. It is terrible. Let me go where they all look like me. I got a confession to make. When I was growing up, all the people from the Far East, they looked the same to me. They all did. They all looked the same. Whether they were Chinese, Japanese, Korean, I couldn't tell the difference. It's like, how can they tell each other apart? They all look the same. I don't know how old I was when I finally figured out that Koreans look different from Japanese people. It was like an eye-opener. It's like, now I can see, I can tell. Their features are different. Wow! Isn't this something? Now I can tell them apart. Even before they speak. Oh, he's Korean. Oh, he's Japanese. He's Chinese. You know, it's amazing how, as race of people, how we look at each other. People have looked at me and called me Hervé Florent. Hervé is a very good friend of mine. He's also a preacher. Right now he lives in San Antonio. People will see me and come, hey, Hervé. And I'm like, I'm not Hervé. This is Richard. Oh, you guys look alike. Come on, man, get it right. I don't look at you and go, hey. So. No, I can tell you apart. But it's all, again, the world that we live in. That's not the kingdom of God. God has called us all in, amen? And it's exciting to me. Learning about different races and different cultures. I was talking to a brother this week. I said, have you ever had Indian food? He goes, what? I said, yeah, Indian food. He says, no. Oh, I said, I need to take you to one. Oh, I said, oh, Indian food is good. It tastes good. Again, I will never forget the first day I had Indian food. We're in Nairobi, Kenya. Mike Tolliver, who's white, he says, let's go to this Indian restaurant. I said, what? Uh-uh. He says, Richard, trust me. This stuff tastes great. Like, no, man. Can we go somewhere where I can have a hamburger, something I can recognize? Because I thought, man, I'm going to be hungry tonight. I mean, there's no... Okay, fine. So we went. They brought all this stuff. I said, don't worry, I'll order for you. They brought all this stuff out, put them out there. I said, okay, let me just, you know, you take that first bite. Like, man. I didn't want to pretend, like, I didn't want to show that I liked it. Hey, I'm confessing my sins. So I took another bite. I go, how is it? Said, it's okay. Let me try this one. Man, what do you have in that stuff? He's just eating the stuff away. He looks up and goes, we're going to be eating this food in heaven. I remember where it started. And now it's one of my favorites. I love Indian food. I love Italian food. I love Chinese food. You know, I almost want to, when you go to these places, I almost want to go into the kitchen. Can you teach me how to do this? So that I can do it in my house and not keep coming here and paying for this? But that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Amen? It's all about trying new things and discovering new things. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now look in Luke chapter 9. I'm almost done. Don't be looking at your watches. Lunch is not going anywhere. Praise God for microwaves. Takes 3-4 minutes to warm that food up. I love this passage. In Luke chapter 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure disease. And he sent them out, watch this, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Guess what? The message hasn't changed. You and I are being called on a daily basis to go preach the kingdom of God. In other words, this awesome kingdom that you and I are part of, to go tell other people about it. Amen. To persuade them. It doesn't say to beg them. Right. You and I just need to continue to preach the kingdom of God. Yeah. And when people understand it, they will want to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. I got the kingdom of God preached to me. Back in 1986. It was like, hey, sign me up. As a matter of fact, let's do this. I'll never forget. They had a men's retreat when I was studying the Bible. And we came back to church that Sunday morning. And in the church where I was converted, they would have after the message, people would come forward and make prayer requests. If they wanted to study the Bible or whatever. And I jumped out. And the brother who was studying the Bible said, where are you going? I said, I'm going forward. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going forward. I need to get baptized. He says, Richard, we need to count the cost. I said, I've already counted the cost. There is nothing you are going to say that's going to make me change my mind. He says, we need to count the cost. He says, I know you've been thinking about this, but we need to sit down and really talk about it. I said, okay, great. And so we left. I remember, we left church immediately. No lunch. And we're sitting there in his apartment, counting the cost. And we spoke for about 45 minutes. I said, let's do it. We got a pool in our complex. You need to go immerse me in water. He goes, oh, no. We're going to do it tonight. At Sunday night service. Yes, Sunday night service. We used to have service Sunday night. Some of you didn't know that. Better be careful. We may get our building and may put it right back in there. I'm just throwing that out there. And see what you're going to do. We used to have service Sunday night. And so that Sunday night, I'll never forget it, being immersed in that water for the forgiveness of my sins, declaring Jesus the Lord of my life and turning my life over. And I can tell you, I have not been the same person ever since. You know, it dawned on me the other day, I have lived half my life as a disciple of Jesus. Over half my life on this earth. I'm looking forward to the next 25, if I'm still around. Okay? I don't know after that, but the next 25. You say, Richard, you don't want to be 90? I'm not sure. Mm-mm. I'd rather go over to the other side. But you see, the message hasn't changed. Why aren't you a part of the kingdom? What's stopping you? What's holding you back? What else does God have to do to declare his love for you? All the things of this world are all temporary, the Bible teaches. This is the only thing that's eternal. Say, well, I'm not even sure God exists. I'm not even sure there is a heaven and a hell. Well, you don't want to find out the hard way. That is all I will tell you. You know, it's very funny. Every once in a while, you run into these guys who go, you know what? I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe there is a hell. Really? You can find out in the next 5 minutes. If it was legal in this country to kill people like you, I would do it in a second. Just give me a knife and I will stab you in the heart and you're going to find out whether there's heaven or hell. Very quickly. Now, obviously, I couldn't do that because they would lock me up. Okay? It's still against the law to kill somebody in this country. And so, but you see these guys talking, you know, they're singing, right, there's no God. Really? If it wasn't for the Almighty, you will find out in the next 5 minutes that there is a God, that there is heaven, there is hell. That there is consequences to the way we live. Amen? Now finally, the Bible does talk about how the wicked cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know the verses, Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 19. Talks about the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity. And it goes on to say, and it says, and the like, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't love sin and go to heaven at the same time. I'm sorry. They don't go together. Amen? We got to change. We got to repent. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm almost done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, it says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? We are changed. I used to be a womanizer. I used to be a liar. I used to steal. Yes, that's what you have preaching to you every Sunday morning. But I changed. I repented. Amen? Because I understood that wicked people, sinners, cannot and will not go to heaven. You know, I'll never forget reading Galatians chapter 5. I thought somebody had taken a picture of my life and just put it in the Bible. I was like, what? I mean, except for a couple of things, I've done everything on that list. Witchcraft? Yeah. Consulting spiritists? Oh yeah, I did that. Name it, I was in there. But Jesus forgave me of all that stuff. God can forgive you of all that stuff. What a Savior. What a God. We are still called to call people to repentance. Amen? Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, and this is where I'll end up. Are you grateful for what you've got? What is stopping you from becoming a member of the kingdom of God? You remember what Jesus said in John 3? Unless you are born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That's not something we came up with. That's not something churches came up with. That's something that God came up with. Are you with me? We ought to be born again. He said, now, how do we do that? Let me advise you to get into your Bible to find out. Because people say all kinds of things about what born again means. And it's not scriptural. Are you with me? You got to get into the Bible and find out for yourself. But look at this in Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, I love this passage. I memorized it many, many years ago. Now I've forgotten a lot of it, but I want us to end here. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. For our God is a consuming fire. All this stuff is going to pass away. All this stuff is going to be shaken up and it will burn. And if you're not careful, you will burn along with it. But if we decide that it's all about the kingdom and becoming a part of it and staying in it until Jesus comes back or when we die, whichever comes first, then you're going to wake up on the other side and God is going to smile and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come in and enjoy your master's happiness. God bless you all.